to ATOP's Monday Manna Bible Study. And we are here and we are ready for YOU.
Well, we praise God for each of you tonight. And truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made. And so we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're certainly grateful for God's Spirit's His Spirit's abiding presence. And we thank God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. Let us know you're getting a good signal and the sound is clear as we prepare for this time together. We had a little break on last week, Lady Kim, but we're jumping right back in both feet tonight as we continue our study in First Chronicles. And we hope that you've had a blessed day today, and that you have been watchful and obedient to the things of God. And we trust that this word that we're going to share, we're going to be in the 10th chapter tonight, that it will hopefully enlighten us and give us some direction as we go forth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Did you have a great day today, Lady
Kim?
It was
pretty good. Pretty uneventful.
Okay.
Long. But
that's far from great, right?
Huh? It was good.
Oh, okay.
Not far from
I say, you, did you have a great day? You said it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Well, all right. We'll move on. I'm not going to go there. But we praise God for you. Let us know that the sound is coming in as we prepare. Click, tag, and share. And let others know that we're preparing now for Monday Manna. And we have several platforms that we're on tonight. And we praise God for each of you on the streaming side and those who are Facebook Live and those who are on our website. And so we thank God for each of you. Let us know. Somebody give us a signal, a thumbs up, that the signal is coming in good and that you can hear us as we prepare for this time together. This is the 23rd of January. Can y'all believe it? I tell you, time is just flying right by, and we praise God for sustaining us for these first 23 days of the year. Isn't that right, Lady
That's
Kim?
That's right.
Okay. Wonderful. Let's have prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you again for this day, and we do thank you for our lives, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for each person that will be a part of this virtual study tonight, and those who will even hear this particular time together by playback or later in the afternoon or even on tomorrow. And so, God, we pray that our faith will increase as a result of us studying your word. And we know that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we decree and declare that we shall see, that the way shall be illuminated, and we will make the right choices, because you told us that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. And we decree victory even before we get there, because everything that we're experiencing, everything that we're going through, you've already experienced it and you've already prepared the way. And so, God, we stand on tiptoe in anticipation for what you're going to do. Even through this time together tonight, we give you praise. Bless each person that's going to be a part of this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and
amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, somebody say the sound is great and the signal is clear, so we thank God for each of you again. We have started this time together going through a very significant book in the life of the whole, Bible, because it's a pivotal two books that really helps us get clarity and understanding around history and how things began to take shape, and some of the things that we see happening even in First Chronicles and Second Chronicles really helps to bear witness toward our faith and what we even believe today. And so, Lady Kim, before we get too deep into this, we're going to pause and talk a little bit about our experience this past week. In fact, on yesterday, in our worship service at ATOP, our regional minister and president of the Christian Church, Tennessee Region, Disciples of Christ, was in the house, and did not she allow God to use her in a powerful, in a mighty way?
Amen. She really did allow God to use her on yesterday. And she preached from the theme, "This is it."
This is it.
Yeah, and she began by talking about, you know, the Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That final tour, I believe.
Yes,
that they
the
were
final
prepared
tour.
For. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how they had prepared so hard for it, but that tour never did take place because we know Michael met his untimely death. But she really tied that in well with our scripture from Leviticus 26:1-10.
Okay.
You have selected as to go along with our theme for ATOP for the year.
All right.
Talking about the abundant harvest.
Uh-huh.
And it that particular scripture in those verses 1-10 talked about how not to set up idols or images of stone, and that we needed to follow God's decrees and commandments closely. But the main part of it was that how we will reap abundantly,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you go down to that ninth verse, it God says that I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. And I will make, and I will keep my covenant with you.
Right.
You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out of the way to make room for the new.
That's good.
So God, in that, those last two verses, the ninth and tenth verses of that 26th chapter, talked about how God was going to look upon his people with favor,
mm-hmm.
and how they were going to be abundantly blessed. So blessed that the stuff they had, they were going to have to move it to the side because of the abundance they were going to receive.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Crystal...
Well, before you go to our points, because I think the whole basis for the understanding of what God was about to do was tied into the covenant that he had established with them. And you'll see that coming out in the points that you're about to make. Because many times, as believers, we get so caught up in trying to grab the blessing without really going through the process and doing what's necessary in order for us to please God. Because God wants us to be blessed. God wants to favor us with his grace and his mercy. But many times we allow the enemy to confuse us and take our eyes off of the things that's necessary for us to do to be in good standing with God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And so understanding God's covenant.
That's right. That's right.
Is what is key. And I think there are, what, 7 or 8 covenants that God throughout history made with his people. And so one of the things that points that Dr. Crystal brought out is that we need to educate ourselves by researching and finding out exactly what God's promises are and how they apply to us.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we don't know what God's promises are. You know, one of God's promises, you know, in the Garden of Eden was that man would have dominion, mm-hmm. you know, over all the animals and everything. And then he had other covenants too. And I think the one she brought out was the one where God promised that he would not destroy the earth with water again. And that's why he put the rainbow in the sky. So that was the covenant with Noah.
Okay.
That he would not destroy that. So we need to research and find out about the covenants and how they apply to us nowadays. They were not only for those times, but they were also for these times.
That's good. That's good. All right. And so she had quite a few points that she elaborated on. And what were the others that looked like you have a hefty list of notes there that you were taking? Were you listening yesterday?
I was listening. The other point was to examine the covenant, that we have to understand that God's covenant is filled with promises, priorities, and plans for our lives, that we must gain a greater understanding of how covenants work.
There it is right there. Because that whole covenant piece ties into the blessings, the promises, all of the things that are attached to the believer in terms of what God wants to do. And many times we don't understand how blessed we are because we never read the contract or we've never gotten into the book to find out the details of what the covenant holds for us.
And see, a covenant is another word for a contract. And not only does God do something, but God requires something of us to do. And so many times we want to say, do it, God. But have we done our part?
That's right.
So we have to understand the covenants. We have to understand not only what God has promised us, but what God wants us to do in return in order for his promises to be fulfilled in our lives.
That's good. That's good. You know, and we talk about covenant and contract, and that really carries over into all aspects of the believer's life. Because a contract is almost like a legal binding agreement between two parties. And most people use that as an example when they are going through a situation, a divorce or with marital separation and things of that nature. But with a covenant, it's something that God seals and that we agree to and that we are willing to be faithful to God with. And we are not looking for an escape clause or a way to get out of that. But we have put ourselves in a proper standing and proper relationship with God. And so it becomes a binding covenant and not a obligational contract. Right. Because people live by contracts all the time, and they use the letter of the law to reinforce that. And sometimes contracts are not even bound by anything scriptural or religious in terms of how the world views contracts and covenants.
Right. And I think I said that a covenant was a contract, but actually it's not a contract. You know, a covenant, like you said, it can be kind of viewed as a contract, but a covenant is more meaningful than a contract.
Okay.
So another point she talked about was that we have to live and experience a covenant in our lives and also rejoice and receive and execute as we go through.
Okay. So we're not just called to be hearers of the word.
Right.
We're not just called to absorb what we have learned and not do anything with it. So we have to execute. We have to put into practice that which God has placed on the inside of us. And many times we find ourselves at a disadvantage because of our failure to execute the covenant agreement that God has established with us.
Amen. Amen. Once established in the process, you know, it begins over and over again.
That's
so,
right.
You know, we don't just agree to something and then it stops right there.
That's right.
A covenant means that we have to do it over and over and over again.
That's right. That's right. And so it is with this journey. We haven't arrived, and we're not perfect, but we're striving toward perfection. We'll continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in that, we are going to have difficulties. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. There are even going to be times where what we believe about God will come into question. And sometimes if we are not rooted and grounded, we would become sidetracked by the enemy's ploys and his schemes to keep us from experiencing the covenant agreement that God, we have established with God. And so people will fall by the wayside. People will give up. People will throw in the towel. But I want to encourage somebody even tonight as you're listening. We're just recapping from yesterday's message by Dr. Crystal Williams, a powerful word. And the title was, This Is It. Is that it?
This is it.
This is it. And so she was really letting us know that we were in position now. We're in position now to do the things that God would have us to do, to walk in the blessings, to fulfill agreement that God has established, and not to just do it once, but we got to continue to make commitment. We got to continue to trust Him. We got to continue to be faithful. We have to continue to grow in grace, because, you know, there are people who have been Christians for a while, but they're immature in their faith. Mm-hmm. And so we have to put ourselves in positions where we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God, and that the things that tripped us up last year shouldn't trip us up this year. We shouldn't continue to fall to the schemes of the devil over and over again. And you'll find, I think, Lady Kim, we maybe talked about this in another session, about how you can almost get a clear distinction about a person's maturity when they're tested, mm-hmm. or when they're going through a difficulty or a trial. And if they have not been faithful in their disciplines to God, you will see them kind of start coming loose at the seams. Mm-hmm. And it really will. We're not trying to judge anybody, but a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And you can inspect people's fruit without judging them based on what you think they might have and don't have.
All right.
You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
One significant thing that I want to bring out, if I can digress for
absolutely.
Me, is that, you know, on that latter part of Leviticus where it talks about that God is going to look with favor upon us.
Right.
And that we'll receive so much abundance that we'll have to move some things out of the way in order to receive abundance in our life. But Dr. Crystal said, and I wrote this point down, if you're not able to steward your increase, it will not come to you.
Right, right.
And so we have to be able to steward, means to manage.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to manage what God blesses us with now.
That's right.
And when He knows He can trust us with little, then he gives us more, because He knows
That's
He
good.
Can trust us with much more.
That's good.
So we have to learn how to steward our resources, or steward our increase, so that we're able to receive more from God. When you do right by God, He'll do right by
wow.
you.
Wow, you're preaching tonight, Reverend. Mm-hmm. And that's good, because that 10th verse says that we'll still be eating from last year's blessings, or last year's harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make room for the new year and for the things that God is getting ready to do.
Hallelujah.
But overflow has already come. This is it. Overflow has already happened, and God has already sustained us. And many times we do not recognize the importance and the significance of what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're eating off of what God blessed us with last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more. Here it is, just 23 days into this new year. There's so much more that God yet has in store. As a matter of fact, Paul says, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Come on, give God some thumbs up if you love the Lord tonight. I want to tell you tonight that the best is yet to come. And you might be in a period, in a place in your life where it looks like the manifestation of the covenant that God has established with you is not coming to pass. It's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. You could perhaps be in a waiting room right now, waiting for your name to be called. But just hold on and hold out a little while longer, because help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
And I just believe God is going to make His promises known to you, and manifestation is in your house. Come on, somebody
Hallelujah.
Type that. Manifestation is in my house.
You
got to believe that. You got to believe that. You got to receive it. You got to stand on it. And you got to know that God is well able to do what He said He would do.
Thank you today, God.
Ah, that's good. That's good. We had a powerful time yesterday, and Dr. Crystal has a unique anointing on her in the prophetic gifts of the Spirit, and she begins to speak into people's lives, and it's obvious and it's clear. Nobody talked to her, nobody told her, but I've seen things that she's shared come to pass, and people have actually agreed in the Spirit, and yokes have been destroyed, and people have been released to move past some of their hurts and their pains. because she's on target, in my opinion, in terms of her prophetic gift.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that's one of her stronger, more dominant gifts.
That's right. That's right.
The prophetic gift of ministry. And so we appreciate Dr. Crystal Williams imparting to us on yesterday and what she spoke into the lives of many people.
That's right. That's
not
right.
Just one or two people, many people.
That's right.
On yesterday.
That's right.
And I tell you, if you receive in your heart what she said about others, God could have been simultaneously speaking
Jesus,
to you too.
Jesus.
You know, just because she called out that one person and spoke into their lives does not mean that God wasn't speaking to you.
That's right.
So whatever you could glean from what she was pouring into that other person.
Glory to God.
You know, it's like you pouring coffee into a cup, you know, and that cup just overflows
right.
into the saucer.
All right,
well, you
now.
Just be the saucer today and
Jesus.
Receive the overflow that God had. God had the coffee for that cup, but it overflowed, into the saucer. So let's be the recipients of the overflow.
Come on, somebody type overflow.
Overflow.
Come on,
it's
still,
the overflow.
You can still receive it now.
Yeah.
You're eating off of last year's harvest.
Hallelujah.
Now, but God is getting ready to give you overflow.
Overflow.
Come on, somebody type it. Overflow.
Overflow.
That's it.
Thank
That's
you, Jesus.
It. Well, we do praise God for each of you. Just a recap from yesterday, and it all has tied in, Lady Kim. This is our anniversary month, and we're celebrating all month long. Our revival was a tremendous success. We had our good friend Bishop Crudup come in from Jackson with several of his people. A tremendous day of blessing, and Dr. Crystal just really kept the ball rolling. And on this Sunday, we're going to have the general minister and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in the United States and Canada as our very special guest. Mm-hmm. And we're excited about her being present.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to how everything is going to just tie in as a result of what God is speaking into the lives of those who are preaching and teaching to us this month.
Yes. And you know why I'm really excited about this Sunday? You have pastored many Christian churches. You started out at New Bethel Christian Church in Alabama. We went to 92nd Street Christian Church. You pastored Linwood Christian Church in California. You pastored Gay Lee Church in Nashville. You pastored Jeffries Memorial
Vermont.
Church in Birmingham. You pastored Vermont Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Michigan. And out of all those places, the general minister and president, the head person
That's
of
right.
the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, never once visited those churches that
no.
you pastored. But we have been blessed this year, this coming Sunday, to have the general minister and president to come to Anointed
the
Temple
denomination.
Of the whole denomination
That's right.
to come and bless us with her presence. And we are so very excited.
That's right. That's God. So somebody type nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
That's
we
right.
are special people,
That's
y'all.
Right.
We're special.
That's right.
Yes.
And you are special. And God has so put us together for such a time as this.
Thank
Come on, somebody
you,
give God some praise.
Yes.
I feel something in the room tonight. I think God is going to do something powerful and mighty as a result of our obedience and our faithfulness. And what we said earlier, for those of you who just joined us, thank you so much for your comments and for you sharing and touching and agreeing, because there's power in agreement. There's power in us believing God for the same thing. And I just believe that this year is going to supersede, going to be a tremendous year of overflow. And we're baptizing too this Sunday, and God is just adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And that makes my heart just happy when I just think about how God continues to sustain us even in spite of us.
Yes.
Nobody but God.
Nobody
Come on, somebody say nobody but God.
We give God all the glory today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, some people think they're smart enough. Some people think they're handsome enough or
right.
cute enough.
Right.
Some people think they're rich enough. But you know what? It ain't
nobody but God.
Because we are none of those things.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
We are in God's eyesight.
Bam.
But you know, we are none of those things.
No.
But with God on our side and the Holy Ghost as our guide, He has shown His favor on us. And for that, we are
thankful. Well, we are some of those things. I have to check that list, you know.
Check it. Check that list.
And check it twice. Check it. Check. All right. We're going to start in the 10th chapter tonight of 1 Chronicles. And what we have done thus far is just kind of give some recaps to the first 9 chapters, Lady Kim, because in those first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, you see a lot of the genealogies coming out. You see a lot of the placement of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you see a lot of discussion as it relates to family line and family tree and inheritance and how things have really taken shape in the Promised Land. And so here we are tonight preparing to move forward from just going through that genealogy and just kind of getting clarity in terms of what God is getting ready to do. And I think a lot of what we have already talked about, Ezra is described here, and he's really making sure that things are placed in some kind of order. So that the children of Israel will understand and the covenants that they have, God has already established with them, and that He's correcting any irregularities and making sure that people have a firm footing as He preserves the integrity of Israel's sacred text. Amen. And so that's what we see happening here. And I as I said a couple of weeks ago, I have even a greater appreciation for Ezra because this was key right here. Mm-hmm. This was critical. And Ezra took time out to make sure that things were in order. And just like we are going through all of this experience that God has for us, we have to make sure that we write it down. We have to keep track of it. We have to make sure that we have a faith file. And I talk about that often because the generation is coming behind us.
Yes.
And they need some guideposts along the way to help them understand what God has done in the past that gives them guidance for what He's about to do in their lives. Mm-hmm. Many times we forget about our past blessings and past things that have happened to our great-grandmama and our great-great-grandmama and our mothers and our fathers and those who have gone on before us. They laid a foundation.
Yes, they did.
And so we have to continue to lay a foundation for those who are coming behind us, even as we prepare for African-American History Month. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Rejoicing in the fact that we can look at our history and understand how people died, blood, sweat, and tears, and sacrifice, and willingness to die so that we might have the opportunity that we yet experience today.
Yes, yes. And I think that's one of the tragedies of our society now, or our race as an African-American people, that we have not sustained our heritage. We have not continued in that vein. We got so busy chasing after promotions and jobs and a better way of life and breaking, you know,
glass ceilings
and you know that we
going up the
corporate ladder that we did not impart into our children what it took for us to be able to break a glass ceiling, be able to get in the penthouse,
that's right,
and then break that glass ceiling.
That's right.
You know, like you said, people died. People, you know, worked hard, and gave much.
That's right.
And these days, people don't want to work, nor do they want to give.
That's right.
You know, but you have to do both. You have to work hard, and you have to give much, and you have to invest into other people.
That's good.
And so that's what we try to do, you know, at ATOP. We try right. to give back. We try to teach working in the kingdom and giving back to the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because therein lies your blessing.
That's it. That's
so,
it.
So
establishing legacy for those right. who are yet coming behind us. And so we need to leave a clear trail for them to see and understand just how good God is and how he continues to bless. And Ezra does an excellent job mm-hmm. in laying out and mapping this out mm-hmm. in First Chronicles and Second Chronicles to give even definition to where we are today mm-hmm. in our walk with God.
Amen.
And we can go back and look and see just how faithful God was to the children of Israel and how the covenant relation continues to establish even in the New Testament when Jesus came on the scene to fulfill all of that which God had already put in place.
Amen. That's right.
All right. So we're in the 10th chapter, and for the next few minutes here tonight, we want to just kind of do some recapping here of this 10th chapter. This we're getting ready to now go into each of these chapters and just try to open up some of the things that are happening here instead of just giving a broad sweep in terms of just lifting up a few scriptures or verses. But this chapter, Lady Kim, the 10th chapter, it, of course, deals with the death of Saul and his sons. And as I was looking at that and doing a little reading, it really speaks to us if we want to make sure that we keep it, relational to where we are. It speaks a lot about relationships. It also, you'll see a sprinkling of loyalty and a willingness to fight until the end. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get into a situation and we want to give up and throw in the towel. But this chapter here speaks to us about how important it is for us to be faithful and loyal and committed and be willing to die for a cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Do we have any comments going forward?
Just Brother Bob just said that's a word when you said a care trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so in First Chronicles, this 10th chapter, we see the death of Saul and his sons. And we know that Saul fell on his sword and the Israelites fled. Saul died for his unfaithfulness against God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all of that coming out in this 10th chapter. There was a mighty battle that was taking place in Saul and all of his armies, they were out on the battlefield mm-hmm. and they were fighting. And it was almost as if it was a setup because they had stationed themselves in one place. And we'll read a little bit of this because it's only, 14 verses.
Mm-hmm.
But they had positioned themselves to really overtake the enemy yeah. that they were fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they found themselves surrounded and by the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the children of Israel, they were dying in the battle. And Saul and his sons were out there fighting against the Philistines. And Saul saw what was about to happen. And as a result of him being surrounded, rather than him taking allowing the enemy to take his life,
mm-hmm.
he decided to take his own life by falling on his sword, because he did not want to be a part of the abuse or the ridicule or the torment that was going to happen
mm-hmm.
if they had killed him right. in battle.
Yes, mm-hmm. And he actually told his armor bearer to kill him.
That's right.
And his armor bearer said, no, I'm not going to
do that. I can't do that, yeah, right.
So Saul, in turn, committed suicide.
Absolutely.
Fell on his own sword. But did you want me to read
it? Yes, we can go ahead and read it, and we can come back and just kind of lift up and highlight a few things. We're in First Chronicles, the 10th chapter, and there are only 14 verses, and we'll cover that for tonight, and then we'll pick up in chapter 11 on next week.
Amen. Again, First Chronicles, the 10th chapter, I'm reading from the NIV version. The first verse says, now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, mm-hmm. and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Milkai, Shua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him.
Mm-hmm.
Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and abuse me." But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together.
Mm-hmm.
When all the Israelites in the valley saw that the army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled. And the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messages throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news among their idols and their people. They put his armor in the temple of their gods and hung up his head in the temple of Dagon. When all the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men went and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. Then they buried their bones under the great tree in Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord.
Wow.
He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David's son of Jesse.
That's right. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that's much in that chapter, because we see unfaithfulness. And even though Saul died in battle, the Bible says that he died because of his unfaithfulness to God. And
yes.
When you talked about him conferring with somebody else other than God,
mm-hmm.
some people call that a familiar spirit,
yeah.
where they are seeking advice from everybody other than
mm-hmm.
the ultimate advice that mm-hmm. needs to come from God.
Yeah, that's when it said like a medium. It's talking medium. About a tarot card reader,
a soothsayer
mm-hmm. or you know, these people, palm readers,
right.
and people like that. That's what a medium.
Well, my good
is.
Our good friend Dr. Tunstall is on tonight, and he's run into some of that in his ministry,
mm-hmm.
and had performed exorcisms before,
mm-hmm.
but that's a whole nother area of discussion,
right.
but we have to be mindful of not consulting with God and looking for others to do for us only what God is able to do.
Amen.
And many times people will go all the way around the world,
mm-hmm.
and then they find themselves at a place where the answer was always there where they started, and it was with God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we have to put our trust in God and
in
man.
That's right.
When we trust in what a palm reader is saying, we're not trusting God.
That's right.
When we're trusting God with what the cards might say.
The psychic might say. Right.
You know, we're not trusting in God.
That's
so
right.
We have to trust God and trust God's word.
That's right.
And so Saul met an untimely death
mm-hmm.
Because of his faithlessness.
That's right.
In God.
And those first few chapters really, first few verses really just kind of talk about how verses 1-6, how Saul died in battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the armor bearer was of such where he said, "No,
mm-hmm.
that does not befall me to take your life."
Mm-hmm.
And Saul fell on his own sword.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we see that word armor bearer coming into existence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people They think that's something that people make up, but mm-hmm. Alma Bear is a person who really serves and protects, and one who is willing to give their life for their leader. Mm-hmm. And Dr. John Tunstall said, yes, sir, because he has had some experiences in the spirit realm where that's a whole nother area of preparedness for when you come up against these unfamiliar spirits that try to overpower people. And a lot of people are possessed by spirits and demons now and don't even know it, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so we look at the person and fail to realize that there's a spirit that's really controlling them and causing them to act in the manner in which they do.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, try the spirit, what?
By the spirit.
By the spirit. Yes. And so we have to be mindful of that even today.
Yes.
But go ahead.
I was just going to say, this whole chapter just sets the stage for what was prophesied about David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God had prepared David. He had already prepared David for him to be king,
right.
The next king.
Right.
And so Saul had to be moved off of the scene in order for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so in the latter few verses, I think from 7 through 14, we really kind of see the aftermath of King Saul's death and how even the Philistines, they wanted to make a mockery of him, and they wanted to put his head, they cut his head off. They wanted to put him into their temple and turn him upside down and had him on display. But the Bible said there were some valiant men, men of valor who decided that they were willing to sacrifice their own lives in order for their king to be buried, not among the enemy or the Philistines, but to be placed under the big oak tree or the royal tree that they made mention of. And I think that's in verse number, verse number 12. Excuse me. In verse number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Read that again if you don't
mind. All their valiant men went and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. And they buried their bones under the great tree of Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days.
Fasted for 7 days. So these valiant men here, they had marched all night, and they carried and took away the bodies and brought them, you know, and buried them in their bones and all of that. And then they fasted because that was a part of the tradition that they had already established, even though Saul became corrupt, you know, and his disobedience to God and his unwillingness to follow the commands of God, they still were under the law to do what was necessary in terms of making sure that they placed his body back where it belonged.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things, some of the lessons here, we're in the 10th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and we're just going through and lifting up a few of the highlights there. But I think there are some lessons here for us and how we can make it relevant to our own lives. We see how the faithfulness to God is key, is important.
Yes.
And how we have to have a willingness to be obedient to God in the face of opposition, in the face of situations that we don't completely understand. And then I think we have to value the relationship that God has set in place for us in terms of us fulfilling the covenants that he's established so that we might walk in the abundance that he has for our lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And as we walk in that covenant, like you said, the abundance will come.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, we look for abundance to come and then say we're going to walk in God's
promises.
Yeah,
we're going to do right.
But, you know, that's where that verse in, I think it's Matthew, where it says, seek first the kingdom mm-hmm. of God and his righteousness.
That's right.
And all these other things will be added unto you. What other things? Whatever things that you're desiring.
That's right.
If you seek God first, if you do His will first, if you keep His covenants, all those things will follow. You don't even have to run after them or chase after
That's
them.
Right.
They will just come to you.
That's right.
And so it is, you know, with this in First Chronicles, you know, we need to do what God tells us to do.
That's right.
We need
That's
to right. fulfill His promises and His will. And because Saul stepped out of God's will
mm-hmm.
and began really kind of worshiping other gods.
Absolutely.
Then his life was cut short.
That's right. And so it said Saul in verse number 13. So Saul died for his transgressions,
mm-hmm.
which he committed against the Lord,
mm-hmm.
even against the word of God,
mm-hmm.
which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar, they call it a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so to inquire of it. And God's presence was all around him, yet he went the opposite mm-hmm. of what God will require of him. And so, you know, unfaithfulness really brings death. That's really what that's saying, you know, because of his unfaithfulness. It was not so much about the battle or him taking his own life as it was about him not being willing to trust God and be obedient to what God was trying to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may find ourselves in a situation mm-hmm. where we think it's one thing, but really when you boil it down, it's all about our willingness to trust God, being obedience. Obedience, I believe, brings a reward,
mm-hmm.
but disobedience places us in the hands at the mercy of our enemies.
Yes, Lord.
And so that's where Saul found himself, even though he was in a great battle. And then it talks about that whole thing with transgressions
mm-hmm.
and how he was going against what God had required of him. And the sin, a sin is a transgression against God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't know how all of that plays, because I think it was Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgression.
Talking
he was
about
bruised
Jesus.
For our iniquities.
Yes.
And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes and by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that when we transgress, it's really us stepping over, across the line, and we start sinning against God, and we start going after that which God has instructed us through the covenant that we have with him
mm-hmm.
not to do.
Amen. And so in that sense, we fall into the hands of the Philistines.
That's right. Into the hands of the enemy.
The hands of the enemy.
Yeah.
When we transgress and go against God's
that's
word
right.
and will for our lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the, what do you have up there, Lady Kim, that kind of help us in terms of a lesson that we can take away from this 14th chapter? I mean, these 14 verses in this 10th chapter. And even before you share that, we want to encourage those of you who are viewing tonight, if you have any prayer requests or any things that you need us to be aware of, we want you to go ahead and submit that in the box. And know that we are yet praying around these needs, and we are continuing to lift you up. And a lot of bereavements, a lot of sickness, a lot of people rehab, and a lot of people trying to make decisions and on the brink of trying to get clarity as it relates to what God is saying. We're just 23 days in this new year now. Hear me clearly. We've just come off of a fast. Many people have fallen back into the old ruts that they were in before the fast. Some people, Lady Kim, are still going through with their fast. And there's a fast called an intermittent fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can still create an environment, excuse me, where God can still bring clarity to your situation, even if you didn't get the answer or you didn't get the kind of direction that you thought you should have gotten when we declared, how many was it, a 12-day fast? So I want to encourage you not to grow weary. And if God is still speaking to you about fasting, then by all means, you know, you don't have to wait for a corporate fast for you to do an individual fast, because there are some things that can only come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's the word.
And so we have to make sure that we align ourselves with what God says for us. And as a result of us being obedient, the reward will come. But disobedience places us at the mercy of our enemies. But obedience brings the reward. Mm-hmm. And so I'm yet excited about what God is going to do on this Sunday. And then I'm praising him for what he's already done. But I want to encourage that individual or that person who's yet trying to figure it out and trying to get clarity to let you know that God has something special in store for you. This is your season. This is it. This is your time. This is what God wants you to be and how God wants you to act as it relates to the covenant that he's already established. If you trust him right now and be faithful, even in the face of adversity, something powerful and marvelous is going to happen as a result of your obedience to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, just to, as a lesson or to wrap it up on tonight, that, you know, chapters 1 through 9, as you stated before, talked about that genealogy, having established Israel's historical setting and ethnic bonds in the preceding genealogies. The chronicler or the writer now enters on his main subject, the history of the Hebrew kingdom and its theological or religious truths. And it's used to signify the conclusion of an argument, with one of the premises being from faith and the other from the natural or the nature leading to error at times. Mm-hmm. The chronicler in this chapter, chapter 10, tells the story of King Saul's death. It begins by describing a battle that the Philistines fight against the armies of Israel. The Philistines defeat the Israelites, many of whom were slaughtered on Mount Gilboa.
Mm-hmm.
So that just wraps up. And the lesson for us is that God has faithful, valiant men during times of injustice, and we are not to be unfaithful to God.
Wow.
Again, we are not to be unfaithful to God. He's always going to have some faithful and valiant men during times of injustice. And when I was thinking about that, I thought about, you know, on the news tonight, my heart was so heavy as they talked about
how the young man died, how the police officers just really, abused and took advantage of their power. And it's a sad situation here in the city, and our hearts go out, as you were saying. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But
I was just agreeing with you. I can't even think of his name right now. It just flipped out of my mind.
Was it Vaughn? It's not Vaughn.
It was Trey. Oh my goodness. Somebody type it in there for me. Trey.
I'll look it up right
there. Is it Nelson?
No.
Goodness. But anyway, we all know the young man that was killed by the police, but we have valiant people. Tyree. Yes, thank you.
What's your last name?
I think it's Nelson. Is it Nelson? But anyway, our hearts go out to the family. We're praying for that family.
Tyree Nichols.
Tyree Somebody Nichols. Got it, yeah. Thank you. Our hearts go out to that family. But we are so glad that the spotlight is now being shown on the injustices that we as African American, Black and Brown people have endured for centuries.
Right, right.
The spotlight is now on it, and injustice shall reign. And
that's
so
right.
We just thank God for that. We thank God for those who are valiant men and women who are standing up for righteousness' sake. And for the right thing to be done, for justice to prevail.
Look like I saw a comment from Dr. Tonstall. Can you pull those up, Lady Kim, and see? Because I think he was making a clear distinction between transgression and sin, and trying to help us understand that whole process and how that.
He says sin is missing God. Transgression is missing God on purpose. Missing God on purpose.
Mm-hmm. What does it say?
Sin is missing God. Transgression is missing God on purpose.
Okay. Did we get that right, Dr. Johnny?
Iniquities is missing God on purpose, getting exposed and still not admitting it.
All right, well, we're about ready to close out for tonight, and we do praise God for each of you and being a part of this study. Next week, we're going to be in the 11th chapter of First Chronicles, and we want you to go ahead and read ahead. We're going to read those verses. I think there are only 10 verses in that 11th chapter, maybe a little more. How many do you see?
23.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll cover those on next week as we move through First Chronicles, and we want you to make sure that you've already prepared yourself for the next lesson that's coming. Mm-hmm. And we have some prayer requests tonight, and if there are others who have prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and submit them now as Lady Kim prepares to close us out with a word of prayer.
Yes, we have a bereavement to lift up, Sister Carolyn Holmes, in the loss of her brother, J.W. Williams. The arrangements are incomplete at this time. He had moved to be with his daughter so his daughter could care for him.
Okay.
But he was from Chicago, so they were shipping his body back to Chicago to prepare for the burial and the services. And then Sister Deborah Taylor needs prayer for her godmother of 59 years. For 59 years, this woman of God has been in her life.
Wow.
And she's now ill. So she asked for prayers for the Lewis family.
Okay.
And then Sister Mary Liggins asked for traveling grace and mercy as she travels. And then she also has an impending doctor's appointment. So we pray that that goes well. Sister Jessica says, pray for those in the hospital, the elderly, and their caregivers. Absolutely. We want to pray for all of the caregivers, because a lot of times the caregivers neglect their own care
right.
when they're caring for elderly people or sick people in their family.
That's right.
So we'll absolutely lift up those in the hospital and the elderly and the caregivers. And we want to continue to pray for our feeding program. We went out on yesterday to the shelters and delivered food and stopped along the way and delivered meals to those who were in
hot
need.
Meals.
And I tell you, we pulled up in one place and
it was just,
people started coming from
just was
everywhere
bleeding, yeah.
Wanting food.
Yeah.
And so the crisis is real.
And we
people are hungry.
We ran out of food.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had more, we would have gave it out. But I tell you, that was, you know, if, and we want to encourage those of you who haven't gone with us, each fourth Sunday we will be going out feeding. And we have some other places that we're connecting with even now. Because as you said, the need is real. And people are going through some hard times. And it's not always because they made a horrible mistake.
Right.
It was a bad decision or some things happened.
And just life in general.
Life in
happen.
General. That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to be a part of helping and assisting with meeting those needs.
Okay. And then we have Sean McCullough. A classmate of Reverend Johnson had his leg amputated last week. We just want to lift Mr. McCullough up in our prayers also.
Okay. I know you have another session tonight, Lady Kim, with your class. How's that coming?
It's good. It's good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
We're moving right along. Praise God.
So yeah. You on the right track?
I feel like I'm on the right track. I just need to find enough hours in the day to get the work done. But
all right. Well, here's what I want to do. Those of you who are still on as we prepare to close, we want to lift Lady Kim up in prayer as she works through this doctoral program and as she just discerned God's voice. And we want to go ahead and decree and declare even tonight that God's going to give her finishing power.
Finishing power.
God's going to give her strength, and God's going to give her everything that she needs in order to go forth. Come on, somebody just give God some thumbs up and some words of encouragement to the First Lady. She carries a lot of weight, and you don't see it, but I do. Well, I'm just joking. But, you know, she's carrying a lot of weight, and so we know that God's going to give her finishing power. One of our ministers spoke into your life this past week when she said she woke up one day and it was over.
It was over.
And so
and that's she said, I'm going to wake up one day and it's going to be over.
So I'm going to lead prayer tonight, Lady Kim, as you see all of the people just complimenting, encouraging you. God, we bless you and we honor you. And we thank you for this time together tonight. And God, we decree and declare that we shall be victorious. And God, we thank you for how you continue to sustain us in the face of everything that we go through. And God, we know that no weapons that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And so even tonight, God, we lift up Sister Carolyn Holmes and the loss of her brother. We call upon your strength and your power to encourage her. We lift up Deborah Taylor and her mothers and the loss of her godmother and Mary Liggins for traveling mercies and even for that appointment, Mary, as you prepare to travel. We pray that God would just go before you and that he would grant traveling mercies. And we lift up Sean McCullough for he's rehabbing at home in surgery and leg amputation. And then God, we pray for Brother John Smith and the loss of his brother. And so God, we thank you now that you not only hear, but you answer. And you are prayer answering God.
Yes, Lord.
And so we give you praise right now. Mm-hmm. And we give you glory and we give you honor.
Glory,
so now God, even as we go down from this place, continue to keep us in your care.
Yes,
and we'll be ever mindful to give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God some thumbs up even as we prepare to close. And we thank God for each of you tonight. And thank God for his Spirit's abiding presence in our lives.
Amen. See you next week. Love you guys.
Be blessed.